Didn't think I could make another podcast so quick, but I think I will. But I think I'll publish this one later. If you listen to my friend Chris Thomas' podcast about ghosts, he mentions them coming, that he encounters around 2 a.m. Well, I'm here to tell you that he's not the only one who believes this. I've heard several different ghost stories. One of the earliest ones I've heard is about the ghost of a tall preacher man who was hanged near Newton, Alabama. He was unjustly hanged by a group of Confederate troops who thought that he was a traitor to the Confederacy, and so they ordered his hanging. But because this preacher was so tall, they had to dig a pit to hang him over. Legend has it that anything you put into the pit will disappear the next day. Have I ever been to said pit? No. Would I like to go there one day? Yes. I would like to see this pit for myself. But I will say this. You just don't mess with preachers. You just don't. Preachers are the men of God. But on to more talk about ghosts. Yes, people put in lots of things. They put in trash, dirt. It's all vanished from that hole. That's not my personal. I was hearing it secondhand, though. It was not hearing it. It wasn't seeing it for myself. When I went to college, I got to see it. I heard about 3 or 4 different ghosts. There's one ghost who was supposed to be, I'll have to research this later, but it's supposed to be, the University of Melville has been actually founded on what was an old family farm, and the guy who founded it, the guy who was on there, he supposedly dug a hole to hide his gold from the Yankees, from the Union Army. And let's test it, they still regard as gold. Interesting story. And yes, the old family graveyard is still very much there. There's 2 more ghosts that bear talking about. One is the ghost of Captain Reynolds. What Captain Reynolds has to prioritize China is this. During the war between the states, the family farm was used as a hospital for injured Confederate soldiers. Captain Reynolds was over this hospital. One day, Captain Reynolds had to go out and attend to a matter, and so he was out of town, out from the farm, so no one could contact him. A group of Union cavalry troops rode in and slaughtered every single Confederate patient in there. Every single soldier in there was killed. Legend has it that when Captain Reynolds returned and found this, he swore with a vengeance that he would never leave that hospital ever again. Captain Reynolds is supposed to haunt the area around Reynolds Hall, But more on that in a minute. Reynolds Hall is the fine arts area, which is where you have music and stuff. Big old nice splendid hall. Moving right along, there is one more ghost that does need to be talked about. And although the other two ghosts, one isn't very evil, and he's more protective than anything else, and the other one, I think he's just there. But this last one, yes, is evil. There, for every bit of good, I guess there has to be some evil, so this is where evil comes in. There was a young woman named Connie Cunningham who attended the Alabama Industrial School, Alabama Industrial School for Girls, which is now known here in Alabama, way back around near the turn of the century. Back in those days, it didn't have fire escapes and whatnot, but they did have, and there's like dormitories that were like several, well, there's at least like 4 stories high, which back in those days was a pretty steep drop. Anyway, one night, she and a bunch of her girlfriends decided to make fudge, and they said make it in the dorm, and they used a lantern. Well, the only thing wrong with this is that, you remember if you've ever seen the dresses that the women wore back around the turn of the century, they're long, flowing dresses, almost like something you'd see a bride wear normally. Well, Connie Cunningham's dress caught fire, and she rolled over. She tried to put out the fire, but she couldn't. And meanwhile, the whole dormitory hall was going up in flames. Somehow or another, all the other students were able to evacuate, but Connie Cunningham, and she burned to death. There was a long period of warning for Connie Cunningham. But then it was like, the university had noticed that the door where Connie Cunningham slept, there was a face of Connie Cunningham, an angry face of Connie Cunningham on the door. The university assumed it was a prank. So they scrubbed it, they sanded it, just painted over it, and put the door back. The face reappeared. They got another door. Another new angry face. This kept going, kept happening. The university pleaded with the students not to put any more faces of Connie Cunningham on there, and put new doors up on there. New angry face each and every time. So finally, the university was like, we give up, and so they left the angry face on there. I've never seen the angry face, but I do believe I may have seen the ghost of Connie Cunningham from a distance. I was walking around the University of Montville around 2 a.m. So I just, one of my friends had got me into walking late at night, and you can think or sleep very well, trying to just clear your mind some. So I was like, yeah, what the heck, I'm going to clear my mind. universe is well guarded. So I just had to take a little stroll, and if anyone asks what I'm doing, just tell them I'm just out for a stroll, and I go back in. Well, I walk back. I walk towards Main Residence Hall. This is around 2 a.m., 2:30 in the morning. And I look and I see a light on. Then the light dims, reappears in another window. All the other lights are off. But this one, but it's like I go towards the, I kind of go towards the light. And when I go towards the light, it's like it turns off in one window and then reappears in another one. Almost like Connie Cunningham is trying to play a trick on me. Trying intentionally throw me off her trail. Finally, I gave up and I'm like, okay, Cunningham, you win. You win this time. So I went back to bed, but by far the scariest, there's two more experiences I've had, which, and what led me to this pursue Connie Cunningham to begin with, was this ghost story I'm about to tell you. This is the one that started it all. It was a rainy day in Fuller Hall. Fuller Residence Hall at the University of Montevallo. I got news for you guys. It no longer exists. It was four stories, just like Maine. But the Residence Hall had seen much better days. We called it the Fuller Ghetto for a reason. Windows were busted out. Floor was cracking. The basement where the baseball players lived. It was just it looked like it was a renovated sewer. But anyway, I lived on the second floor at the time, which was ground level. And I was hanging out with this black guy that we got along, that I got along pretty good with. We were really good friends. And we had been listening to some music, and finally, when we heard it storming and raining, I told him, I was like, well, we better go unplug it. He agreed with me, so he unplugged it. And then the music started playing again. I said, turn it off, please. So he's like, okay. So he turns it off. The music kept playing. Both of us were convinced that the radio was possessed. There wasn't any way we could shut this thing off. Finally, he just turned down the volume. And we were scared. I was convinced this was the work of Connie Cunningham, which led to me going out really late at night in actual, somewhat in actual trying to track her down. That whole pursuit of her, I guess you can say, from afar. And I guess Connie Cunningham kind of gave me my, yes, I do exist, moment. But as I was mulling over Connie Cunningham and the whole radio incident, one of my friends was Alpha Kappa Lambda told me about another ghost story. And he told me about the one about Captain Reynolds, but he said there's more to the story about Captain Reynolds than you think. I was like, okay, continue to talk, I'm listening. He said there are some days, he said around 2 a.m., that you can actually see ghosts from the old hospital. Mulling about. I'm like, well, this is interesting. He said, and he told me, he said, you can usually see them between the power lines. So, I said, remembering where I had set my watch of Cunning Cunningham before I decided on another 2 a.m. adventure to track down Captain Reynolds and his men. I decided, remembering about the incident with the radio, I thought maybe the ghost was closer, and maybe it wasn't Connie Cunningham. Maybe it was a different ghost. Maybe it was just an old Civil War soldier playing a trick on me and my friend. So I walked. I remember there's an old broken down building just behind my residence hall called Peterson Hall. And as luck would have it, there is a power line between Fuller and Peterson. I'm like, I've got them this time. So I said, I wait a little bit right near the area. And I said, if I'm going to see any ghost that possibly may have been responsible for this radio incident, it's going to be here. So I watched and waited. Sure enough. And this is the one thing I've never been able to explain to this day. Sure enough, in blue light, you can make out what looks to be old hardwood tables there's like one by another, laid out just as you would find in a hospital. And these tables are like dining tables. They're like very, 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 very old. But yes, they were long enough and wide enough where a human could fit on them and be operated on. And these were all bathed in a bluish light all the way around. And it was going straight up light towards the power line. To this day, I have never been able to explain that occurrence to this very day. There's other things. I remember one time I was still after my wife left me and I was in Ashford. I had heard on Facebook about some killer clowns. And it's like, the killer clowns getting closer and closer and closer to Halloween. And I'm just like, hey, I gotta do something. So I barricaded myself last night. I was just like, is it enough to stop the killer clowns? The killer clowns never came. Of course, me and my mom chided me for being so silly. Looking back at that instance now, I think it was because my life had went through such upheaval with my ex, with my wife leaving me and taking my son, and not really telling me much of anything. And I was very uncertain about the future. And I didn't know what to do, what to say, how to act. I was just frightened. And my mom and my dad helped me out tremendously during that time. And my Aunt Pat, too. And if it hadn't been for all them, I don't know where I'd be, even and Bree Miller, an old friend of mine, he helped me out too, but that was a hard time for me. A very hard time. And I guess that was all my fears just came centered on the killer clown, supposedly. Much like Chris, I'm going to advise. Well, there's one last thing I want to say about doing 3M deal. I went to St. Augustine, Florida. which is the home of the oldest permanent settlement in North America. It beats out Jamestown, even. It was built by the Spanish. And I talked. There's like a guy there who talked about the Ghost of St. Augustine. And I had, after the tour was over, I kind of pulled the tour guide to the side. And I told him about my experiences with the Ghost up in Montevallo. And I told him about what time I have it too. I said, is this possible? He said, well, he said 2 a.m. to 4 a.m. is the witching hour, he said. So, and he said, this is when ghosts tend to come out the most. Also, another thing that's supposed to affect whether or not you see a ghost or not is whether or not you are woman or male, but if you are male, if you have a lot of Native American in you or not, just different things. Supposedly females could see more ghosts than males, but I don't know that. So I think I've seen some for myself. I remember right after my hamster died, I could have sworn I seen a little ethereal hamster on an old chair I had, kind of looking at me, just looking and staring at me, and then skimpering off, just vanishing, just skimpering off somewhere. And I tried to actually see what it was. So I guess even animals possibly have ghosts, who knows. But this does scare you. I highly recommend listen to this in the daytime. Try not to listen to it at night. And, you know, look inside yourself and see what's going on. Let's see what's really bothering you. And if something can't be explained, talk to someone else about it. But just remember though that some things can't be explained. And treasure that. You may have seen something nobody else will ever see. So treasure that as part of something that is specific to you. If it's a good thing, if it's a bad thing, tell a professional. This is Seth, and I'm going to sign off. Don't know when I'm going to publish this, but I'll post it soon. I'm signing off. And I'll let you guys just go and sweet dreams.